All right, 3, 2, 1, and welcome everybody back to A Different Conversation. I'm your host, Thomas Saxby. We're here with Wolfie, so you know what time it is. It's the Built Different Show. Woo! And what we're going to talk about is mostly baseball today, but we're going to talk about it all today, mostly baseball, because we kind of didn't really make too much content during the playoffs. So we owe it to you guys to have a fantastic offseason and then a fantastic season next year. And we're going to talk about it all today. We're going to talk about the Yankees and the Dodgers, the World Series, Juan Soto. We're going to talk about Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani. We're going to talk about the offseason that's ahead, what some teams need to do to finally win the World Series. And we're going to talk about it all. So my first real question is, Wolfie, how the hell are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. The 2024 season's wrapped up, and we're heading into 2025. There's a lot to talk about still with the playoffs that just happened, but we'll touch on that. But just quick one thing going into 2025. I just wanted to bring this up while it's on my mind. We knew about the Oakland A's going to Sacramento, right? Like, I feel like everybody kind of just, like, forgets that they're not going to be the Oakland A's anymore after that, like, insane playoff. Like, we just
they're literally only going to be the Athletics.
Yes. But now another concern that I just thought about, because we didn't even really think about it as much with Oakland, but unfortunately after the hurricane that just happened, the Rays will not be playing in Tampa Bay at their original or at their stadium, the Trop. But they're going to Steinbrenner Field. Now, the Rays are an interesting team because they can be pretty good at times. I don't know how much money they're going to be spending this year if their organization has to do repairs.
So they do, like, they have so much talent on their team.
Exactly. Still. And they've made trades last deadline too, that most likely they'll probably get some talent out of that. But my point
Wander
being
Franco might come back.
Oh, imagine. That'd be horrible. But to me, my question now is, because I feel like we didn't even think about it with Oakland, but with the wild card being, you know, three teams now, and the Rays always being a kind of a sneaky team. Granted, there are teams getting better in the AL, but if they make the playoffs, even Oakland too, which I don't think has happened, but for the conversation, those stadiums can only hold about 11,000 people. The A's are actually adding in some standing room to add about 3,000 more seats, so about 14,000 people. But my question, I guess in general as a conversation, is if they do go to the playoffs, like, what do you do with that? Do you just have a 14,000 seating stadium playoff game, or do you relocate it? Where would you do? Would you think it's fair to do that? Would the team be able to decide? I kind of feel like that's like a weird situation because, I mean, think about it. If the Yankees play the Rays, the Yankees sell out every game. They're clearly going to, like, that place would be sold out at 14,000, and there's now you're losing 28,000, like, people in revenue. Like, I'm very curious how they're going to go about that. God forbid one of these teams make the playoffs.
Yeah, yo, God forbid is pretty funny, yeah. Too. I think, like, the expectation is that the Rays aren't going to make the playoffs.
Is that, like, what Neville did?
I mean, like, I think, well, I mean, also at the same time, I don't think they expected a hurricane to literally destroy their field. But it was God's, and listen, people out there, don't cancel me. No one died during this specific, you know, incident. But, like, I think that's God's way of saying, get that trash out of here.
Yep.
And, like, maybe rushing the process of the new stadium because, you know, as everybody knows, no one shows up to the Trop. It's been tough seeing all these winning teams over the years and them not having the proper support for it. As cool as the Trop's been, I thought it was a cool stadium. You know, they got the whole dome thing going. It's different. It's a new vibe when you play over there. But no, that's actually a really good question. I think the Athletics answer is pretty easy. I think you could put them just right back into the Coliseum and they would, it's a money grab there then at that point.
That's a really good point, actually. It would almost, like, be almost too good of a money grab.
I mean, because they didn't tear down the stadium, right?
No,
they're not gonna?
Not. I mean, if they do, I doubt they would do it within a year. I doubt the construction would be fast or deconstruction.
So I think they can send them over there because, like, at the same time, I think the Athletics specifically are going to put up such dramatically low attendance numbers. I think it's going to break the lowest attendance numbers they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, where they're going, right? Sacramento?
Yes.
So they're going to go play in Sacramento. And when it comes to the Oakland fans, whatever they have left, because you know they had the lowest attendance last year as well. What fans are really going to travel to Sacramento from Oakland to go see them play, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to have some low numbers. And what people in Sacramento are actually going to give a fuck enough to go see a bunch of Athletics games? Probably not a lot. I mean, maybe when like Shohei Ohtani is in town or the Yankees are in town or, you know, Angels, whatever, people might show up. But I don't think it's going to be pretty for their attendance numbers until they're in Vegas. And then they better hope that they put a good product out there in Vegas, because people aren't going to care then. Yep. I mean, at the end of the day, I think the real problem with Oakland is going to be they might end up ending this franchise, because I don't see how you can attract people to the stadium ever again. Because in Las Vegas, you got to have a damn good team or people aren't going to spend their money there. They're going to spend their money on the strip. They're going to spend their money, you know, doing other stuff. Why would they go see a terrible baseball team play? It's just like every other team in the MLB, besides maybe a couple franchises, where if they suck, the fans aren't going to show up. They just got better shit to do. Like the Washington Nationals, right?
Yeah.
When they made the playoffs and they were doing good, the fans showed up. But when they suck, nobody goes to a Washington Nationals game, because there's a lot of other shit you could be doing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right.
A terrible baseball team on the field.
Especially with those locations.
But when it comes to the Rays, I mean, they'll probably throw them in a neutral site or something. Maybe they'll go to Miami. I don't know. I get what you're saying, and it's because I think that's the real issue, is that if they specifically make the playoffs, they're going to lose a lot of money. And I think they'll do something. They'll have to.
Yeah, I think that at that point. And I don't know how long the construction is. Maybe could it be repaired by then? I don't know. It would be at the end of the year. I don't know exactly how long.
I mean, it looks like they put it together with fucking, like, just rags. They just put mad rags together. I don't know. Maybe I'm ignorant and I just don't pay attention. But, like, I thought it was different from that. I didn't know it was just, like,
all right, here's a hot take. Once if you literally cleaned it all up, but just didn't have a roof. Like, you cleaned up all the debris, made sure, like, the beams were structurally, you know, the integrity was...
Yeah, man, that would look like... That would be different. Like, that would... I don't know. I would like that,
like,
too.
I feel like they definitely have a plan, at least more the Rays than the A's. But just a quick touch on something you said with the A's, which is really true. It's not like when the Golden Knights came into hockey, because they were a new team. And when you're a new team, the draft process happens where you could kind of pull players and, like, you already, like, formed a team. With the A's...
And it was, like, Vegas's first team and, like, all this good stuff.
Yeah, and so, like, it's almost like you didn't know what you were getting in a way, because it was a new team, which is exciting. With the A's, you're just bringing the same players over. So unless they develop and or sign a bunch of good players in the next 4 years, like... The only way they could really...
And they're good at it, though. Like, giving them credit, they're good at building teams within 3 years. Like, this team that they had this year, they could build on that.
Exactly.
Like, it wasn't a terrible team.
But my point being is, though, you do have a small window. Because even if you have, like, a couple of exciting players in 2027... Let's just say 2028 is the year they actually do go there. In 2027, you have a couple exciting players. You still are going to need the big fish to really make a splash... Yeah. In 2028. So either they're going to save all their money then and make, like, a big move at that time, or they better hope at least in the next 3 years. Like, don't get me wrong, Butler's a decent player, but, like, I'm thinking, who's the other freaking... I'm sorry, I feel like I'm forgetting his name. One of their biggest slugger right now on their team. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. I can't think of the guy's name on the A's right now. Like, one of their best hitters.
Oh, Brent Rooker?
Yeah, Brent Rooker. Like, yeah, hell? Okay, yeah, there it is.
I was like, I don't know what you were even talking about.
For some reason, Riley Green's name was in my head for the guy in Detroit, and I just could not get him out of my head, and I was like, who the hell is this other guy?
It's not Riley Green!
And then, yeah, so, but Rooker and, like, Butler, like, they have decent players. Miller's obviously great at the back there, but, like, they definitely need way more.
They got a few, like, the few of them arms are cool, too. And they got a lot of prospects at this point, and they'll get a lot more.
It's almost to a point where, like, if I were them, I would definitely be a little bit more active in the market now and just try to, even if it's, like, a one-year deal, like how the Mets did with Severino, do a lot more of that now and then really make the
big splash. It's such a strategy, man, because, like, I think that's, a little bit maybe of the reason that, you know, the Nationals rebuild has gotten a lot better, because once the Nationals started doing that, signing people to 1 years and then just trading them, like, the the players that we've gotten from that alone has been like
worth
speeding up the process a little bit. But nonetheless, my opening take here is I just want to say thank you, baseball. Right. So I know it's been a couple weeks, but I just really want to say thank you. Like it was such a beautiful season. I mean, from start to finish, all the storylines that we had. I mean, just on top of just everything else going on in the world, baseball was a beautiful distraction this year.
Absolutely.
Just so many good storylines, just so much craziness. We had, you know, Shohei getting 50 and 50, Aaron Judge having another phenomenal year, Juan Soto living up to the hype in his, you know, free agent, you know, year, the year before he's going to go to free agency. The playoffs were wonderful. I mean, I think from the wild card on, there was just so many exciting games, so many close games, so many dramatic games.
Yep.
I think baseball is like the fans showed up this year. I mean, if you've seen the atmosphere at some of these places, I mean, that Yankees Dodgers World Series, whenever something good happened for the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, even though it wasn't a lot of things, and then all the good things that happened, especially like the Freddie Freeman Grand Slam, like game one of the World Series, I think was just such a beautiful moment. And part of that was because the fans that were there just losing their mind. I think like just so many good atmospheres, so many good games. It was beautiful. It was just one of those seasons that we have not had in a while where it's been from start to finish. It's been beautiful. I mean, we got Paul Skeens who like lived up to the hype. You know, the Padres, you know, Tatis, like what Tatis was doing in the postseason, even though they lost, like it was wonderful, man. I think the only thing we were missing was the Mariners, but like,
yeah. Only every year. You're right though, too. And it's funny, you mentioned the Freeman home run, but just a quick, like just to jump around. I mean, the first Astro series, maybe not as much, but Detroit had multiple games with big home runs and grand slams. You had the crazy Guardians
game. I mean, Carpenter, of all people, hitting, like, the walk-off or go-ahead, you know, home run.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you had the Guardians game with Noelle and David Fry.
Yeah, Big Christmas.
Oh, my gosh. And then Mets peaked with his comeback home run, Lindor with his grand slam, the Freeman one that you mentioned. It seems like, and then even in the Royals series, I know the Royals weren't doing too much.
Giancarlo Stanton, what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like every series had like these massive moments and big hits that like made it, like you said,
and that's what I was talking about. And it was a cap off to like one really wonderful year, because we had just so many great moments throughout the year. We had so many, you know, I mean, these rule changes, they were in effect, and it I know we had a lot of pitching injuries earlier on in the year, halfway through. But I think the offense being great and just everything that was going on was just wonderful. I mean, I know the Orioles tailed off at the end, but they were so goddamn fun to watch. The Yankees were actually a breath of fresh air this season, and that's like really hard to say because like when are the Yankees ever a breath of fresh air? The NL Central had three teams go to the postseason. They damn near could have had four. And that was like, I mean, the White Sox losing the most games ever in modern day history was just a cool, like they turned it into a cool storyline at the end. You know, Astros making it again, but it is what it is. They crumbled. They lost to their former manager. I mean, like what kind of shit is that? Like in Detroit,
that's crazy.
Like,
yep.
Like I know they have to feel less of themselves. The Phillies were just beautiful all year long. The Braves, they fought. I know they like failed at the end there, but you know, just a lot of great things. It was a fun year, man.
It was fun,
and I'm just glad.
I'll even give the Padres some credit for the storyline. I know they made some moves. Obviously, like they weren't a bad team at all without Soto, but they made moves like with Cease and all that. But the fact that they got rid of Soto and still made, you know, the playoff run that they did, you know, I'll give them a lot.
And I like where you're going with that, because I'll shout out the Padres as well. When you trade someone like Juan Soto, that should be like it.
Yeah.
And then not only that is that they lost Snell, and they lost they lost Hader. They lost some people, like some big pieces. And I think other franchises need to follow their footsteps, because they just picked themselves up and they got a couple more guys and they just kept on trucking and they just kept on going.
Yep.
And I think that's what a lot of these franchises need to do. Like I love Juan Soto, and that is a big hole for anyone to lose. But especially if the Yankees lose him, which we'll talk about in a second. But when it comes to them, like, you just got to keep going. Just keep pushing. Whatever happens, you just keep signing players. And if they get past the Dodgers, who knows how really far that they actually end up. I mean, maybe it's them against the Yankees and they win the World Series. You really don't know what could have happened if they actually finished the job against LA. And they almost did. Yeah, they were close.
They were real. I mean, dude, they were super, super close to beating LA. Yeah. Like, they were a game away.
Like, we were getting ready. We were just like, oh, my God, another disappointing Dodgers
year. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I give the Padres a lot of credit. And plus, the trade they actually made for Soto. King actually had one of their best games in the postseason.
Yeah, and I love that. Like, because Michael King is such a dog, exactly. Man. He is so good. He was, like, one of the best relievers in baseball. And then he, like, has major surgery, comes back a fucking starter, and just...
Yeah.
He's really good.
And not only did he become obviously a reliable pitcher for them right away, but the full impact of the trade hasn't even been felt yet because they also have prospects involved in that that they didn't even use yet. So really, I'll give them credit. Like, they really, really made a hard decision, but in the long run, and in the short run and the long run, it's been paying off so far.
Going into the Dodgers, winning the World Series especially, how do you feel about that? Because it was us. We were here. I think it was in February. It was at the end of February. We were here saying, Wolfie was saying that the Dodgers better fucking win. And I was saying it as like, I mean, you know, I think they're going to win. Like, I think it's written in the stars. It was fate for this to happen. How do you feel now that it's all over?
You kind of did just jog my memory on that. Like, I was obviously saying it at the end of the season, but that's right. We really called it from, like, the day the trades were made and the signings were made. And even at the same time, on the flip side, we did it even with the Yankees when they got Soto. And I don't want to be one of those guys like, oh, it's so scripted or everything, because it's not. It's just, this is literally what we thought would happen. And just that's what happens when you're a team just loaded with superstars, you get there and win the World Series. Even though we lost to them, and even though they have one of the, you know, they gave out one of the biggest contracts in baseball, and their top four is just, you know, basically Hall of Fame players. I mean, dude, they showed up. They played. Like, you know, let's be honest. Ohtani didn't even do that great in the World Series, and they still won. So, like,
the whole playoffs, really.
And on top of that, they had basically, like, a decimated pitching staff, which is the one problem I actually thought they had all year. I kept saying, like, I wonder what their pitching situation is going to be like in the playoffs. Do they have enough pitching? Because I always thought good pitching wins World Series. And they kind of proved me wrong on that. Like, they gave up a good amount of runs. They had multiple days of bullpen games. One of the guys they had pitching, Walker Buehler, barely pitched that year and had a 5-plus ERA when he did pitch.
Had a phenomenal playoff.
I give them a lot of credit in the fact that they not only won the whole thing, but even kind of...
They fought,
and even their deficiencies basically just didn't matter. They won it even with problems. Like, that's the thing. It's not like...
But Bobby Miller wasn't even in the majors by the end.
If imagine if they had, like, the Seattle Mariners rotation... And, like, lost, you would be like, that's ridiculous. But the fact that they actually had, like, a very glaring hole on their team and still won, like, I can't be upset about that. Like, that's actually kind of fair.
They scrapped, they clawed, they fought, they did everything that they absolutely had to do. And that's what I said. I mean, because, like, going into the playoffs, I really honestly didn't expect them to get to the end unless we got, like, some magical performance. And Freddie Freeman, like, we got to remember, he went into the playoffs with the ankle injury that he was just limping while he was playing. He wasn't even supposed to be out there.
Yep.
He didn't have a good, you know, postseason up until the World. Well, I mean, it was decent, but it wasn't like...
It wasn't his World Series home runs every game. Yeah.
And then, like, you know, Mookie Betts was coming off of that, the injury that he had. I think it was the broken wrist or broken finger, whatever he ended up having. And they pieced it together. And, like... You know, just getting it's so insane, like, this whole Shohei Ohtani situation. And, you know, it kind of puzzles me as to why people think, like, oh, you know, the Dodgers, they bought their way to the World Series, blah, blah, blah. And I get it. They have a pretty big payroll. But people got to remember the dark times that they came from. Like, they were not, like, the 90s and the 1000s, like, they were just not, I'm not going to say not existent, because they had a few times there where they had a couple teams. But remember, they didn't. In 2020 was their first time winning a World Series, and however the fuck long it was, they had to build this up over time. And there's, like, specific trades that you can point to. Literally, all they've done this whole time is kind of just do what the rest of the league isn't willing to do. So you remember the trade when they got Carl Crawford, Hanley Ramirez, Josh Beckett, like that big trade. Mm-hmm. That was just them taking on some really stupid contracts, giving away little to nothing, and then thriving from it. They've done, like, the signing Manny Ramirez after his, you know, suspension, or I think he got suspended while he was on the Dodgers, but no one wanted Manny Ramirez anymore because of his attitude and everything. They got him and they thrived from it. And then looking at some recent examples, Freddie Freeman was just the mistake of the Braves not signing the one guy that they really needed to sign. Cause as you can tell, that leadership has been lacking there that Freddie Freeman brought. That wasn't the Dodgers buying Freddie Freeman. That was just the Dodgers picking up where the Braves, you know, didn't, because the Braves didn't like give him the money that he wanted, you know, that whole agent situation, whatever. But they didn't protect that enough to make sure that Freddie Freeman was in a Braves jersey for the rest of his career. Mookie Betts was literally just because the Dodgers were pestering, you know, the Red Sox, and they, you know, the Red Sox came up with this great idea to dump David Price's salary and send Mookie Betts with it. That was just them taking advantage of the dumbass Red Sox. They didn't buy Mookie Betts. They didn't even really send them anything. I mean, Verdugo is one of the worst hitters in baseball. Jeter Downs failed as a prospect, and who the hell else was there? We don't, like, it is what it is. And then, like, you look at this Shohei situation. You're telling me, like, they're just smart. Like, who would have thought, okay, we're going to give you a $700 million contract, but we're going to make sure you're taken care of after you retire, because you're just going to be getting that payment after you retire. You're already making enough in advertisements and sponsorships and jersey sales and merchandise sales. You're already making this money. Why don't we just give you $2 million a year, however the hell much it was, and then we'll defer it, and then when you do that, we'll be able to sign whoever the hell we want, and we're going to be winning and living large forever. I mean, like, this isn't – it's not the Yankees style of just, okay, we're signing, you know, Gerrit Cole for all this money. We're trading for Giancarlo Stanton because we can afford his contract. We're giving Aaron Judge the big dollars. Like, we're, you know, they're just Rodon. Everybody that they've gotten has been classical Yankees in the past when they got all of these guys before. Like, they're not doing that. They're actually just taking advantage of what teams just aren't doing. And I'm tired of this small market aspect, because all these owners are billionaires. It just depends on the owner that you literally have.
Yeah.
To make sure that your team is spending money. And some of these guys won't, and some of these fans won't, you know, rally against that. But the Dodgers, I think they're just smart. That's my rant.
And I'll give you, first off, great rant. I completely agree. Yeah. The one thing, too, I'll defend the Dodgers on. Now, obviously, I'll say this. They clearly seem to have endless money, so that does help in their case.
And that's what happened. And my bad, you kind of like, you brought me to where I wanted to actually finish this rant, and I am so sorry.
No, you're good. Yeah, keep going.
And that's the thing. The endless money thing didn't, like, it's not like they've always had endless money. They've done this through, like, advertising their brand the right way so that that money can just keep coming in and keep coming in. Like, don't forget, they've been winning for a long time, like a very long time at this point. We're at, like, what, 10? Like, they were in that World Series with the Astros in, what, 2017? But then they were good for a few years before that. They were good when they had Matt Kemp. Like, they've been good for a while. They've just built their brand, and they've made so much money. And it's a team like the Padres, right? So the Padres, we never thought they had any money whatsoever, but they took some big risks. You know, the two Upton brothers, Craig Kimbrell. You remember that year where they just did a whole bunch of horse shit? Yep. But that horseshit sold tickets. People bought their jerseys. People showed up, no matter if they were winning or fucking losing. No matter if B.J. Upton was embarrassing the city of San Diego everywhere that they went.
Completely agree.
It didn't matter. But they built a brand so that now, later on, now they're able to afford Machado. They had Juan Soto, and, you know, they almost were able to sign him. They signed Bogarts. They built a brand similar to how the Dodgers did it. You just can't. I don't really think it's fair to say the Dodgers sat here and just bought the World Series. They're just smart. That's it. Sorry.
No, you're good. I agree with that. The only dispute I would have is two things that are going to happen. One of them probably will happen, but the only thing I'll say this. If they sign Juan Soto, or if they give another big contract away, say like Corbin Burnes, and it's all deferred, that's when I'm going to start saying, all right, this is getting fucking ridiculous. That's the only time I'll say it. Like, if they say Corbin Burns, like, 8 years, 230, old deferred, and then Roki signs there for, you know, which what's going to be an Ohtani League minimum, because, like, when he came over to the Angels because they can't give him the big contract yet, then I'm going to be like, all right, they're just buying shit now. But, I like you said,
first... No, and you have a good point. Like, I just...
I don't think it's there yet, though. And I'll explain why, too, because really when you think about it, it's two big fish that they've really only bought. Ohtani and Yamamoto. And hear me out. Like you said, okay, all right, Mookie's on big contract, Freeman's is. All right, first off, Mookie Betts got traded, so they got basically the first jump to give him a contract. That's not just buying him, that's trading for him, that's super smart. And like you just said, they're just picking up on the deficiencies of all the
one
other
teams.
One
of the best players in the league. Yeah. Like, why did no one why did no one else hit up the Red Sox?
Yes, and that's why
fucking try to take fucking Price and Beth. Anyone should have done
that's not anybody. That's not the Dodgers' fault. That's the other 28 teams that weren't involved and didn't do it. So that's
where were the Yankees trying to pick up fucking Mookie Betts and David Price? Where were all?
I'll even say the Mets, man. Even the Mets, like,
because I'm sure anyone, like a toddler, would fucking take David Price as long as they're getting Mookie fucking Betts. Yep. Like,
and at that time, even though he obviously wasn't good and didn't pan out, Alex Verdugo was a touted prospect. So that means
it's
other
Jeter down.
And so that, but that, and they were, but that also means that other teams were touting their own prospects and not giving up. And I guarantee you, if you would have asked these GMs the names that were involved 5 years ago, I guarantee you half of those names never panned out to be anything. So it's kind of like they gatekeeped their prospects and then blew it. So first off, Mookie Betts off the table. That's not their fault. And the next one that I had to just look up. The fact that people, and I know what happened, is because they talked about it at the time, is that a lot of teams weren't as involved with Freddie Freeman, even the Braves, specifically why they let him go, because of his age, and they didn't think he was going to like age well. So he only got 6 years, 162, which is like basically like it's less than $30 million a year. But when you actually think about the player that Freddie Freeman is... Like,
he's been the most consistent player of all time.
Exactly. So, like, that's actually a relatively cheap contract when you think about it. Yeah. I mean, honestly, and I even said it at the time, too. I know he's had some good seasons. Like, I would have still kept him over Matt Olson if I were the Braves. I know Matt Olson's younger, but they're basically getting paid the same money. And you could say that Freddie Freeman's, like, one of the best players in the league.
That's easily. I mean, so Matt Olson hasn't proved a day. I mean, he's good. I'm not saying he's not, but...
like.
He hasn't. He wasn't what Freddie Freeman was for Atlanta.
Well, I'll say this too, and because you brought it up even with Mookie. All right, if you went, because I think he signed 2 years ago, right? So it's probably only 4 years left. All right, rewind to 2 years ago. Hey, Yankees, would you have gave him 6 years, 170? Hell yeah, you would have. He only got six years, 162. They could have probably gave him 6 years, 180, and been in a better
place. Yeah.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they gave him 6 years, 180. They maybe have took this to a Game 7, if not won the whole thing. Imagine Freeman, Soto, Stanton,
Judge. And that's what I'm saying. Like, why would it? Like, why didn't teams just want this left-handed? Just like, even if he was a DH, just a left-handed consistent
you said
leader.
It. Yep.
Like great guy in the clubhouse. Think like about that's what the Dodgers were missing for so long is just that like that one. Like, and I'm not saying Mookie Betts isn't a good guy, but just that one like. You know, humble, aged leader that's just a good guy and just goes out and lets his performance do the talking, and he's so nice. And
God, like, looking at it, dude, the Yankees were honestly stupid to not give him that money because his left-handed swing at Yankee Stadium...
Oh, my God. Dude, imagine what that would have done for Freddie Freeman's career.
Dude, oh, my... And, like, I keep saying it. Like, thinking about those three players in the lineup, even including Stanton, those four players, Soto, Judge, Stanton, Freeman, I mean, you might... have won the World Series with that lineup. So
I don't think it's a might. I think they will.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and if you take Freeman out of the Dodgers lineup, I really think they might win. So my point, but my point being, just to wrap that all up, concludes that really the Dodgers aren't going as happy, crazy with spending money through free agency as people think they are.
Yeah, and that's and like you know, the only thing that I would dispute, I don't think that. The Shohei deferring all that money is going to be something that a lot of people do. And the reason why I think that way is because a lot of people want protected, you know, guarantees. They want to get paid now. They want to get their families where they need to be now. They want to enjoy that money now while they're young. And on top of that, like, the only reason that Shohei was able to do it is because he makes that money already and more through how popular he is in Japan, how popular he now is in America, all the sponsorships, the advertising. There's no one that pulls in the money like him. Aaron Judge is, like, probably the closest, and maybe Acuna, but they're not pulling in the money that Shohei pulls off of just existing alone.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it was really a unique situation. And even if they were to just go out and get mad contracts, it's only going to be because Shohei deferred this money. And then you mentioned it. Freddie Freeman isn't on the biggest contract in the world. So, like, what they're able to do now, whether they do just start buying people, is because it's the domino effect from, you know, signing Ohtani to that wonderful, one of the smartest deals ever. Why no one has ever, like, thought of that is actually insane. Because it was an easy sell, and look how fast it paid off. They probably, that money that's all deferred, they've probably already made back in how much tickets they sold this year, how many jerseys they've sold, all the revenue that they made from the playoffs alone, all the times that they got to use Ohtani's likeness. They have, I can only imagine that they've already made that contract back, so paying it back is not going to be an issue down the road. Man, it was smart. It was great. Absolutely. Like, that front office is cooking.
And now I'm curious to see, too, because we didn't get that many reports of that, especially with Yamamoto. I'm pretty sure it was, like, really the same boat. Now I'm curious, though, if players are going to be taking less to go there. I wonder if that'll ever
happen. I mean, would you? Like, it's, at this point, with what they built. No, I want
my goddamn money.
Oh, no, for sure. But, like, let's say you've already made, because, like, let's be real, like, any player that's on, like, a $2 million a year contract, you're already set. Yeah. Like, you already got your bills paid. You're company.
I do think, so, like, though, the players, actually, now I'm thinking about it out loud, I actually don't think they would allow that, because the Players Association would step in, because if you taking less to go to a team, you need a
competitive balance at some point.
Yeah, you actually, sure. Like, it actually lowers the market for everybody else, too, and it's kind of like, hey, like, we're trying to get the most money we can. And when you're out there taking, like, half of that, one player, I'll admit, almost did that was, you could almost make the argument Jose Ramirez did that. He probably could have got way more on the open market, but I think it, but that's the only thing, that's like a one-and-done contract, but if, like, it happens a lot more with the Dodgers, I could see that being a case. But also to their defense, too, when it comes to their starting rotation and their bullpen, a lot of their money is just tied up with offense. Like, they don't really have that, like, $200. Well, I mean, now they have Yamamoto. But
they keep pushing, but everybody guys else, out their ass. These prospects
exactly
keep pushed right on out of their ass.
Exactly. I'm wondering if they're ever going to make a big splash. Like, I could see them doing it just for the fact that they're the Dodgers. But I wonder if they're the type of team I could see eventually at some point doing, like, a big splash for, like, a reliever. But I don't know if that'll happen this year. But anyway, right. So.
Fair enough. To the Yankees losing, how do we feel about that? Because that it's not looking like it's an absolute guarantee that Juan Soto is going to come back.
Yeah, I think there's a part of I feel like you could go both ways, where it's like, does he want to go back to, like, finish the business, or is it kind of like, all right, we kind of blew that type of situation? I'll say this, and this isn't even as much as, like, a Met fan kind of gloating type of thing, but yo, Yankee fans, man, like, you guys lost in a really shitty way. Like, I almost feel like if you would have, like, just had, like, a normal, like, 3-2 or 4-2 loss, it wouldn't have been as bad. But, like, that fifth inning was one of the worst blown choke jobs I've ever seen. It's got to be in, like, the top five I've ever seen in baseball. I mean, you gave up literally
five. I didn't put it as high up, because it's like, they're already fucking, you know, losing. Like, they have to win all three of these games. But it's just when it's Aaron Judge, of all people, just dropping the ball.
Yeah.
And center field, and then Cole not running it out, and all this, like, other madness.
And Volpe with the throw. It's just like, dude, it was just all over the place.
It's just like, for me, I don't. It's hard to blame Aaron Boone because of how bad the fielding was. I just don't like him much as just the head manager of the Dodgers. I just, or of the Yankees. I just don't. I mean, because like the difference between Dave Roberts and Aaron Boone is Dave Roberts, he pushes all the right buttons usually until he doesn't. And then when he doesn't, the Dodgers usually lose, and it's usually in the World Series, whatever. But Aaron Boone, it's like he doesn't push the right buttons almost at all, ever.
Yeah.
Like, at least you can, like, you get some really smart, really crucial decision making by Dave Roberts. And I think, like, one of those was, I'm trying to think, there was a specific moment in the World Series. I think reliever was starting to give up some base runners to the Yankees. Oh, it was Blake Treinen. It was Blake Treinen. I believe it was in the eighth inning of game five, the last game of the World Series. And Blake Treinen had given up two Yankees runners. He's already at like 20-some pitches. Dave Roberts comes out, talks to him. He said, "Do you got this?" And Blake Treinen said, "I got this." I was like, "All right, you better get this done." Blake Treinen gets it done, and that was honestly a decision right there because he should have maybe taken him out. I said it then and there. I said, if Blake Treinen doesn't get taken out of this game and he gives up some runs, that's going to look really bad for Dave Roberts because he had every opportunity to take him out. But he trusted in his guy. His guy got it done, and that's just one of the right buttons that he pushed. But when it comes to Aaron Boone, I don't think he pushes the right buttons. I think, like, specifically that whole game five was a mess, like not taking out Gerrit Cole, leaving him in too long. But like in the game one, you took him out very early.
Well, that's
game five. You let him go to like 100 and exactly. Whatever amount of pitches.
I was just about to say that, like, not to cut you off, because you just said exactly what's been on my mind this whole time. It's not even the fact of pushing the wrong buttons. It's that it's like you don't know what button you're going to press that certain day. What I mean by this is, like, Carlos Mendoza, just to take the Mets for example, or even like how you describe David Roberts, like everybody kind of has this set track record of like how they manage. And it's like even when they're in the playoffs, they kind of keep that same persona like all throughout the season. Aaron Boone doesn't do that. There are sometimes he'll take off certain games and be like, it kind of doesn't matter. Like, there's a lot of games in the season. He doesn't manage, yeah. Like, every game's important. Or, like you just said, all right, game one, your best pitcher's on the mound.
Lighting it up.
Like, he's got, like, 86, 88 pitches, lighting it up, and you take him out. Then the game he gives up five runs in, even if they weren't earned, you sent him back out. And it's like, one game you're analytically driven, and on top of that, it's not like you took him out early because you were going to pitch him early. You pitched him on the same day's rest, so there was no excuse for that either. So it's like one day he's super conservative or super analytical, and then the next day it's like, oh, well, that's all thrown out the window. And I don't want to hear that was, oh, well, it's a do-or-die game. Bro, this is the World Series. Every game's do-or-die.
Every game.
Like I just told you, it's like certain games, he's so passive and takes off, and it's like, oh, we have more time. But in reality, that's bullshit. Like, it's almost like there's no urgency. There's
just some other things. Like, how did the Yankees get to the World Series and fall flat on their face? Like, they didn't. It was almost like they didn't really even want to be there. Like at the beginning, like they were just kind of like their feet were stuck in the mud. Like, how as a manager, after everything that the team has been through the entire year, of all the noise, of all the everything, how is Aaron Judge not locked in? At all whatsoever? And I get Aaron Judge is his own human being, but where's the talk with Aaron Judge? Yo, get your fucking shit together, man.
Yeah,
like where is that talk? Like, all everything that the Yankees got this year was from the addition of Juan Soto. It had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Aaron Boone. It was because of how good that team was. And you know, you get to the World Series and the team just falls straight on there. No energy, no nothing. After everything that they've been through, after finally getting to the World Series, you don't even get to face the Astros. And it was just, I don't know. Reminds me of Mike Trout.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's funny, too, because you talked about, even with Aaron Boone, right? If you actually, like, there's almost a 20-game difference in wins to losses from last. There's almost a 20-game difference in when the year before. 20-game difference in a team. Like, dude,
yeah.
The Mets got a new manager and we won like 15, 20 more games. Like, it's like his track record like doesn't matter. Like, it's like
The Mets with Mendoza and all, and it's going to be weird. I'm giving the Mets some props here. But it's like Carlos Mendoza in general, like you think about the Mets coming into this year, as bad of a year as it was last year after blowing that 100-win season the year before. you come in this year, the owner is just kind of like, hey, this is our like transition year. Don't expect the most. And he had guys on that field giving them everything. Like, you think about all of what actually went into it. Like, you had guys like Quintana just doing his thing. You had Manea, Severino, or Manaya, my apologies, Severino. Like, just guys that were, like, not... Well, yeah, I could even... They were decently forgotten about.
Yeah.
And, like, especially the Mets lineup, it was, like, no one was expecting a goddamn thing. And the Mets just, like, you can kind of tell, like, it was kind of the good manager, his good coaching, his good up-and-up attitude that kind of lifted the Mets through what could have been a miserable year. You got anything like that out of Aaron Boone, they're probably walking away with the easiest World Series win ever, but it didn't happen that way.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And now,
it wouldn't matter if he wasn't even there. It's right. I almost feel like it's so. Out of all coaches in this league, I feel like, and I don't know if it's because I watch a lot of Yankee games, I feel like he's like one of those managers that it's being managed by like the front office, where it's like, yeah. I feel like there's never like a gut decision from Aaron Boone ever. It's always from the office above, like it's like he's like he can't make his own decision.
And now they're gonna like let go of Gleyber Torres, and it's just I don't. So like, and my question is, it's not even a question because I feel like I know the answer to it. I do think that the Yankees blew their best shot that they're gonna have in a very long time.
I completely agree.
Win the World Series, and I get it. They got 27. It shouldn't really matter, but they haven't won since 2009. They're not seen as this big, great, powerful team anymore, and you had the chance to get that back going and they blew their best shot, because what are they without Juan Soto? They're gonna let Gleyber Torres go, and I think the hope of doing that is that they'll have so much money to throw at Juan Soto. But if you lose both of those guys and you just have Aaron Judge and Stanton and these prospects, you're not gonna have Rizzo anymore, you're not gonna have a lot of those guys, where is this team now? Is it just gonna be just a sad downhill adventure to where 5 years from now they're probably the worst team in the league and they have to rebuild? And then with Aaron Judge, like, his legacy, where do you put his legacy now? Overall, like, in the postseason, like, he's not a good hitter, and I get it, he's won two MVPs, he's doing some really good things, he's hitting balls to where they've never been hit before, whatever that is. But if he's not delivering a World Series championship, if he's not making the moves himself, he's not the hitter that he can be in the postseason, where does that leave him? Probably the worst Yankee captain ever. Probably he's not going to be remembered pretty well in the Yankees if he just doesn't get it done. And he did not get it done this, but he didn't even look focused until the Yankees were like getting ready to lose in game five. Like, game four, game five is when he actually truly fucking locked in, and you could tell a difference at the plate how focused he was. And it's like, why did it take that long?
I know.
And you literally didn't like get full, like, you were very terrible until game four, World Series, last fucking moment.
And the thing is too, is like you said it too, is that, and I completely agree, by the way, is that, and not even just with the Yankees, I mean this with every team, getting to the World Series and not winning, like, it is so hard to get back there and do the same thing. Like,
yeah,
what the Astros have done, even the Dodgers have done, like, that doesn't happen often. But the thing about the Yankees, which is what I would be a little worried about, first off, if you lose Soto, I think it's like, I'm not saying you're not going to make the playoffs, but you are not even close to the juggernaut you were going into this season. Not even close. I don't even care if you sign Pete and Teoscar Hernandez. Even if your team is overall better, I don't think you're still going to be the juggernaut. Second off, Orioles are getting better every year. You just had three.
And they're already in talk. Like, it's evident that the Orioles are going to be aggressive this year in free agency.
Exactly. And yeah, and I actually think they're going to, wouldn't be surprised if they keep Corbin Burns. You have three teams that made the playoffs in the AL Central. One of them, it could have been four. The Astros are going to still be good. They're going to keep resigning players. They actually had a lot of injuries this year to their pitching staff, so they're going to get
Rangers
better.
Still, it's not like the Rangers are a terrible
team. I was about
team.
To say that, like, let's not count out the Rangers. They had a lot of injuries too this year.
All the Mariners have to do is get hitting.
Mariners need to get some hitting. Really, in my opinion, the A's, Angels, White Sox, are like the only four teams I wouldn't be worried about. The Rays are going to be scrappy again. And the one team I think is going to be really good in the next like 5 years, because they're going to start spending some big bucks soon too, is the Red Sox. The Red Sox eventually are going to start to be good again. They're not going
to
keep
going on top of that. And to add on to that, I think the Toronto Blue Jays are still in that boat.
Yeah.
I think they're going to start shuffling things around. They're going to have some weird teams on the field. But from the trades that they've made, besides the dumbass trades that they made, they've gotten some good prospects in there, and I think they're going to probably suck and have a really good couple of drafts. But they got money, too. I mean, for whatever reason, they're in on this Juan Soto sweepstake. They were in on the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes. They have money. Toronto is ready to spend to do what they got to do as well. And I think it'll only be a matter of time for them too. So I see where you're going, and I absolutely agree.
And
especially if the Red Sox are to get their aura back,
well,
if they're able to just get that Red Sox aura back and spend a little bit of money, if I'm the Red Sox, I am begging Juan Soto to come.
Yeah,
because that would be it right there,
and it's funny because I didn't even really think about it with the Red Sox until the end there. But all right, let's just say this. If we know the Orioles and Red Sox are going to be doing some moves this year, I wouldn't even be surprised if every team in that division makes some moves. Maybe the Rays not as much. They'll probably do something, though. They always seem to do one thing, even if it's minor. All right, it's probably going to look like the playoff picture it did like 2 to 3 years ago, where it's like every four, like the top 4 to 5 teams in that whole division are going to be like competing for the playoffs. But let's just say this. If it's like a very even spread in that division, even if the Yankees happen to win it, which I don't think they will keep doing eventually, yo, the Astros basically got lucky losing, or the Tigers got lucky beating the Astros. But let's just say this. If you're playing the Astros in the World Series, you're playing the Red Sox in the World Series, in the playoffs for both of these teams, like, the Yankees have some problems against these, like, aura teams that you're talking about. And I think, like, we have to admit, and I don't like using this term, but they did have a relatively, you know, a cakewalk this year getting to the World Series. They didn't have to go through the Astros. They didn't have to play like a scrappy Red Sox team in the playoffs. Like, I do think eventually it's going to get to the point where these other teams are going to be in their way, and it's just going to keep them from getting farther, especially if they don't have Soto. Now, if
The Guardians continue to bring prospects up that are amazing.
And they lost the game Royals, at least I think every game.
They got something
in the series.
Yeah, and I think the Royals got something figured out. I mean, the Royals, they're going to be aggressive in free agency now for whatever that's worth.
They actually might get Jonathan India. I don't know if you just saw that report the other day.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
That's pretty cool.
Which is it's a beautiful fit. And then, like, for the Tigers, like, they have nothing but just a bunch of guys.
Yeah. So, and a lot of prospects there, too.
So, moving to Juan Soto specifically, what are your thoughts? Where is he going? Are you putting your Mets cap on for this one?
I do. All right. I think it's going to come down to the Mets and Yankees, personally. I don't think the Red Sox, I really don't think he's going to Toronto. Like, I'll be honest, I do not see him going north of the border. I think he's going to stay in the United States.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I
that would be hilarious, though.
You know what's weird? There's a part of me with Soto that thinks if he doesn't go to the Mets, it's because David Stern goes up to Cohen. Because I have a feeling Cohen is like, I literally want him more than anything in the world right now. And I feel like there's just that, like, part of him that, like, David Stearns, the GM, is holding him back and being like, dude, there is going to be a number, even if you can afford it, that we're looking at, would you give this guy $60 million a year or give three players, like, a 30, a 20, and a 10, something like that? My point being is, like,
yeah,
there's going to be a point where I do think Stearns is going to say that, like, it's not worth it. It might be financially worth it because you'll sell jerseys and people go to the park, but when it comes to building an overall team, it might not be the wisest decision to just focus in on one player. That being said,
especially because we got to consider that the Mets are most likely losing Pete Alonso if they sign Juan Soto to this ridiculous deal.
Now, that being said, I also think Steve Cohen is going to do it because, let's be honest, dude, he's 26. We're not talking about a 30-year-old, 31-year-old. Even Lindor, I think he's turning 30 this year. Dude, we're talking about a guy that could be on your team for like 15 years.
for the rest of his career. For the rest of his career, see how it happens.
He'll probably be the best Met ever at the end of that. Or if Lindor too will definitely be there, but definitely Soto's can probably be that. You're going to fill that ballpark with it. So in the long run, while yes, I know it's like you're dumping all those resources into one player, personally, I think the Mets are going to pull the trigger. Because I also think one thing that doesn't get talked about enough, I think there's, I mean, I don't know if he ever thought he was going to go to the Yankees, but Steve Cohen was pretty generous in like not getting into the Judge talks as much. Remember, it was kind of like he stepped away and like knew like he didn't want to get involved and like take the Yankees player away. I think he's like, screw that this year. I don't care if he was a Yankee last year. Like, I am going full bolts to the wall, and he will give Soto $700 million if it takes that much.
And I think that, like, Juan Soto is going to make that kind of money. And I think, like, teams would be stupid to walk away from this because you got to understand who Juan Soto is, right? Like, this guy, he has power to all sides of the field. Not only that, he has, like, 40, 50 home runs a year power. He hit 40 plus this year. He has the ability to hit, you know, 300, possibility of 200 hits per game. He's a decent fielder. I know a lot of people feel that he shouldn't have been a Gold Glove finalist. But that's just because, like a lot of fielders, there's some real bad mistakes that he makes sometimes. But overall, he's, like, gotten so much better as a fielder, and he's going to continue to. Or if not, they can move him to, like, first base, DH, whatever. And if, whew, that'd be scary if he's only focused on hitting.
I would love for him to become a first baseman eventually in, like, maybe 5 years.
Yeah, and he's a lefty, so he's automatically good against 75% of the league because 75% of hitters are fucking right, or pitchers are right-handers. So he automatically gives you that advantage. He protects your best hitter. I mean, we saw that with the Yankees. He protected the hell out of Aaron Judge. So if you're a team with, like, especially like the Red Sox, imagine you get a guy like Rafael Devers, a guy that's already as nasty as Rafael Devers is. Imagine you get him some protection in the lineup. Okay, let's talk about the Blue Jays, even though we think it's one big hypothetical. Like, imagine he goes to the Blue Jays and someone like Vladdy is getting that kind of protection. You saw the good year that he had this year through a bad year in Toronto, through the bad year that Toronto had. Then I think, like, if the Yankees let him go, it's going to be the stupidest decision that they've ever made. Ever made. And they might get the Juan Soto curse as opposed to the, you know, the great Bambino curse that the Red Sox had to go through. Speaking of, that documentary was fucking great. Have you watched it yet?
No, not yet, no.
You should. I mean, it's stuff that we already know. We already know that the Red Sox came back on the Yankees, but that documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, I've been meaning that to they do made that. For it. Yeah. But I haven't.
It's actually it. Like it's really good, man. I mean, I watched it with my fiance. She like it was good.
But
Juan Soto, and I'll be a homer here. Like, I'll be very disappointed if the Nationals are not in on it.
I think, like, they will be.
The Nationals, I think they're a sneaky team. No one's thinking about them. Juan Soto already knows what it's like to be a National. He knows it was. He said that his experience was mostly positive. Until the very end when we traded him away, it was a little bit ugly. But, I mean, when it comes to that, if you're signing a 14, 15-year deal, you're going to a team for the rest of your career. So I don't think he's going to care about that. The Nationals had one of the biggest payrolls when they were a good team. I'm pretty sure they can afford it with no money. Like, Strasburg's retired and Patrick Corbin is gone. The Nationals have money.
Oh yeah, definitely. They do. They have,
and I think, like, if the Nationals get him, it's going to be the biggest heist of the century, considering all the players that they got from the Padres. But another team, I think the Angels could be in on him. And I get it; the Angels are bad. Juan Soto knows that the Angels are bad. But if he doesn't take the trip to the Dodgers, what would stop him from taking the trip to the Angels?
Unless he gets
the Angels
scared.
Were sneaky. The Angels were very sneaky on every player that they've ever gotten ever. They weren't the top. Like, for when it came to Albert Pujols, it was the Cardinals or it was the Marlins. The Angels didn't, like, appear until, like, the last fucking day, and then it just happened fast. Josh Hamilton was not supposed to go to the Angels. CJ Wilson was not supposed to go to the Angels. Anthony Rendon was not supposed to go to the Angels. Like, and I get it. A lot of those players that I mentioned, well, basically everyone, just didn't pan out. But they have the money, and they have the, oh, we're L.A. They have that.
No, you're right.
And I want to be shocked. They got it. And it's not They got his old buddy Anthony Rendon there. I know he's a piece of hot garbage.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, his buddy's there.
But he's there. I mean,
you know what it is, too? I feel like normally I would say the money would just, if the money was high enough, he would. I feel like the curse of Ohtani, though, like how it's like Ohtani left and literally went to the World Series and won it the next year. I feel like players are now like, I don't want to go to the Angels. Like, they're just like a dying franchise. The thing, though, I will say about Soto, I actually do think he's genuine in the fact that, like, if it comes down to, like, a good chunk of change, that necessarily the team's winning might not matter as much. Where, like, if, like, say the Mets offer him 660, the Yankees 700, but then the Angels come in with, like, 770, something ridiculous out of nowhere, I could see him just going with the Angels just because it's, like, you know, he's gonna go with the money of at some point.
And you gotta think about who Juan Soto is, like, at the end of the day, like how much he came up, like when he was in the Nationals minor league like team, he couldn't afford a bed. Like he comes from nothing, so like he's gonna get every penny that he deserves, and is very deserved,
plus
considering what everybody else makes.
And I'm not saying they didn't have good players on the team, they actually had a lot of good players. But, like, just like you said with the Nationals, like, there was one point they were 14 games below 500, didn't have much expectations going into the season, and he won a World Series with them. So, to his point, it might be like, I'm on the Yankees, we had the highest expectations in the world, we didn't win it, you know, I'm on the scrappy Nationals, and I won a World Series, so who's to say me going to the Angels that we couldn't win a World Series in the next 15 years? Like,
that's the thing. Like, the I think Angels, he's like, they're building something. Well, they're building something over there.
He's someone I could see, like, being, like, me being on this team, anything's possible kind of way, where it's like, I'm not counting out a team because they haven't won recently. Like, I can change that kind of thing.
And I think especially with the Nationals, maybe like, the if you sign, like, a 14-year deal with the Nationals or whatever, I like truly honestly think it's not the worst idea. Like, you saw James Wood and Dylan Cruz in the outfield, you just join this outfield, and then for the next years the Nationals just got to build and build and just keep building. It's not a terrible idea. I don't think he's gonna go to the Phillies, though. I think the Phillies, they haven't been as good as a team as they could be, is because they're basically maxed out money wise I don't think they can even afford Juan Soto logically. The Braves could be sneaky, but
I don't think they were. Like, I don't know the book. They're so dude. They didn't even want to do it with Ronald Acuna, so it's like I don't think they're going to open up the book for 700. I'd be actually shocked if they were involved.
Oh shit!
Oh shit! I was like, what just fell?
Like, my fucking mic just flew off.
Jesus Christ.
Do you have any other thoughts on Juan? So what is your, like, so your official prediction is the Mets?
Yeah, I think the Mets will do it this year.
I ultimately think that Juan, so the Yankees will make the right decision and give him the money. I think they're not going to let, like, it's the only reason that they're possibly letting Gleyber Torres go is to absolutely ensure that they can give Juan Soto all the money that he's looking for, or like if they can compete in a bidding war with the Mets. I feel like they almost let Gerrit Cole go for that reason. Like, I mean, you saw earlier in the offseason, they almost were just like, all right, like, peace, that gives us more money to give to Juan Soto. I think they're willing to do it. It's just, damn, imagine if he goes to the Red Sox or the Giants, man.
And too, there's also maybe a point.
It would be a vibe. It would be like, that would be something. Like, if Juan Soto goes to the Red Sox or the Giants, that would be. And if the White Sox were in a good position right now, I would honestly predict the White Sox too. Like, it would just be a vibe.
I actually think too, there, and I don't think it has anything to do with ego, but it's just in general, like, any person. I also kind of feel like him going to a team where he could be the overall best player has just, like, a little, like, sprinkle of incentive. I'm not saying you don't want the best players on your team, clearly, because you want to win, but just to have that, like, 0.01% knowledge, like, I am the best hitter on this team, because, like, Judge won the MVP over Soto. Like, Judge is the better hitter on that team. But just if he goes to a team and it's just, like, you are the dog, I feel like just has that, like, just a sprinkle of incentive on that, too.
And I would think, like, the reason why he wouldn't go to the Yankees or the Mets is just because there's going to be so much pressure in either location, right? Like with the Yankees, like that pressure is going to, it's going to be very like pressured unless they like can win fast. His whole contract, it's going to be this nasty stress and pressure of like the Yankees winning. And then the Mets, like the Mets haven't won in so long. If Juan Soto goes to the Mets and the Mets don't win like the first couple of years of that contract, a lot of Mets fans are going to be like, okay, like what the fuck? Like, you know, we need to start winning. Like the years are getting longer and longer for the Mets here, where they're going to start getting to a very large number of years since they've won. The last time they won was what, 86?
Yeah.
Like we're closing in on that 50-year mark.
No, I know, and then a lot of teams, man, haven't won in a while too. But it's just,
yeah,
I don't think.
But like that's that Mets pressure specifically in New York, like I think it's going to be nasty. I think if he thinks about that, I think that's where these other teams can come in, like the Red Sox, the Giants, the Nationals, and like the Nationals. It sucks that it's not being talked about right now because it just only makes sense. It just only makes sense. The franchise would be his no matter which one of these young fuckers come up. The franchise is his. He won a World Series there. He their first World Series.
I think it's the fact
he knows
though,
he knows it.
I think he does, though. Like, while it does make sense for him, though, I still think he wants to go to, or at least be involved in a team that, like, isn't as far away as some of these other teams. I'm not saying the Nationals couldn't be better with him, and they would obviously be, but I also do think, like, which is why, like, I joked around, like, obviously money talks going to the Angels, but I do still think there's that part of him where it's like, hey, like, I want to be involved in, like, postseason baseball. Like, I don't want to necessarily maybe, like, run to the Dodgers, but, like, let's be honest, the Mets were two games away from a World Series. Like, the Boston Red Sox were, like, a couple games out of making the playoffs this year. Like, I do think he wants to at least go to a team that's, like, we're at least right there without you or already in it and involved.
Yeah, of course.
The one team that I actually, if they had a little bit more batting talent already in place, I think he's a team that could take, like, the Mariners over the edge if they had already, like, two more prolific hitters.
Oh, my God.
But J-Rod,
I didn't even think about that. What if this whole time the Mariners were just plotting on, like, they gave Julio Rodriguez that long, cheaper contract. They didn't get no hitters because they were just waiting for this, like, moment. Because, like, think of the presentation that they can put together
exactly
for Juan Soto.
Well, that's the thing. If, like, J-Rod was, like, always consistently, like, because once, like, July, August, September come around, he's, like, literally, like, an MVP player. I feel like if he did that consistently and they just had, like, maybe, like, one more really good bat, I don't know who that could be. Like, say, like, if they had, like, a Seager, like Corey Seager there, like Kyle's brother. Like, say if they had, like, a Seager, Soto, J-Rod type of mix going on, I feel like that would really put the Mariners over the edge. The problem, though, is that, like, I can see them actually getting Soto or being involved in it, but then getting him and that's, like, it. Where it's, like, they don't add the more pieces. Yeah. Like, they would still need, like, Oscar Hernandez coming back. Or, like, or you know what?
But, hey, I mean, Santander, Julio Rodriguez finally with the protection of Juan Soto. That's a good start.
I mean, granted, you would have to spend a boatload of money, but think about how good this team could be if they added Pete, Soto, and Santander. Just go all in, man. Just get the top dogs.
Yo, and Santander, okay, yeah. I mean, going into this free agency talk, like,
even if you don't get Pete, actually, you know what? I'll say this, because Pete would be a lot of money compared to, like, get Christian Walker, Santander, and Soto. Then that team would be definitely in the playoffs.
Free agents, so like I said, I'll name a name. Name where you think that they go. You know, maybe a little sentence or two. You ready?
Yep.
All right, Christian Walker, 34 years old. I didn't know he was that old.
I actually think he's going to the Yankees.
Okay.
Because I think they're going to miss Soto, so I think he's going to get, and he's honestly, they need it. They need a good power first baseman. He's definitely underrated, in my opinion. He's a little bit older, but that's what the Yankees do. They get older first basemen.
Okay, that's fair. I think I'm going to go with the Padres here. I believe they need a first baseman, if I'm not mistaken. I think Christian Walker is a beautiful fit for the Padres. He's already in that, you know, stadium about 19 games a year. I think it's a very lit spot, and I think he's one of the pieces that you get, and you get some pitching, and I think the Padres are you know, they're actually a really good team again. But the Yankees is they need a new, you know, they do need a new first baseman. But like, and that's one thing that I wanted to mention back when we were talking about Juan Soto. And it's like you said, we're going to have a random conversation. This is my first one, is that the Yankees might screw themselves here. So remember the offseason that they re-signed Aaron Judge? And because it took them so long to re-sign Aaron Judge, it kind of ruined their opportunities to get other people that were available.
Yep.
This could be the same situation where Juan Soto has all of these offers coming in from different teams. There's a bidding war. There's whatever have you. And the Yankees aren't getting other people, so they're losing Gleyber Torres. You know, they're not spending at first baseman like they should, which I agree with you. Christian Walker on the Yankees is a great fucking fit. They could miss out on a lot of things because they either hit or miss on Juan Soto.
Christian Walker is specifically a player, too, I could see them, like, missing out on, like, out of all those players.
Because he might sign fast. Unless he waits for Pete Alonso to sign and shake up the first base market, which I could see, I don't know. Or, you know, a team gives him enough money and he goes there, but I like it. All right, Pete Alonso.
Oh, man, this one's hard. Because there's a part of me that thinks if Soto does go to the Mets, that the Mets would move on from Pete. But, like, I feel like with what Pete did, specifically in the postseason, like, he had some big home runs. Like, there is a part of me that thinks he's going to test the waters, not maybe get what is offering, and at least make... Like, I actually think he's someone that might go back to the Mets for a little bit cheaper, even though we were talking about the beginning of the year. Like, I could see him really not wanting to leave the Mets. So, I really do think the Mets are going to get Soto and Pete, because also, too, they keep talking about Willy Adames, and I don't think he's going to go from shortstop. So I do think Pete's going back to the Mets.
All right, I'm gonna take a wild guess out here. I think, like, the Mets, they have a choice to make here. Either I don't think both Pete and Juan Soto is going to sign with New York, unless specifically Pete, like you said, signs like a cheaper contract, signs right away, like, hey, I'm here, you know, we're going at this again. That's the scenario I see. But I think the Toronto Blue Jays, they're gonna miss on Juan Soto, but I think they can absolutely hit on Pete. Listen, he's the polar bear. He already loves the cold weather. Why not go above the border? I get it, Vladdy plays first, but he can either move back to third, one of them could DH, whatever have you. I think Pete Alonso is a beautiful fit in Toronto. He could hit bombs there. I think the fans would love him. He's already the polar bear. I think it can be aura. Toronto Blue Jays, Pete Alonso.
I feel like if they didn't have Vlad, I could definitely see that more. But, I mean, hey, maybe he does go back to third base. Not a bad choice.
And then I don't really want a prediction for this guy. Just do you, like, if a contender gets Paul Goldschmidt, like, let's not remember. Let's not forget that he's a free agent.
Yeah, he's actually.
Imagine what he could do for a team.
I know, and it's funny. I don't want to say like the Yankees again, but he is actually someone else that was on my mind about the Yankees just getting him for that veteran first baseman presence. But no, he's one of those guys that I do think he's gonna go to a team that is most likely gonna go to the playoffs. Like, I don't think he's gonna fall to a team like the Rockies or even like say like the Marlins and getting traded at the deadline. Like, I actually do think a contending team is gonna take him out there.
I'm trying to think. I think the Yankees will get Paul Goldschmidt.
I don't think they would spend on Christian Walker. Yeah, exactly. Okay, I could see that too. I don't want to be redundant, but yeah. I could see them more wanting to get Paul Goldschmidt because it'll probably be cheaper.
Because Paul Goldschmidt will be cheaper. He's old. Like, it's kind of just like what you did with Anthony Rizzo. Like, let's get him and just see what the fuck happens.
Do you think there's like a weird scenario where, and it would be kind of like messed up to do, but do you think there's a weird scenario where the Arizona Diamondbacks don't re-sign Christian Walker and then just bring Paul Goldschmidt back Paul to play first base again, and then he retires there? I don't know, man. That's just a thought in my mind.
Hey, wow, that was a good sneaky bit. All right, Gleyber Torres.
I'll be honest. I think the Yankees are moving on from him because I think Jazz is getting shifted back to second base.
And he does not like Aaron Boone.
Yeah, he's an interesting one because I don't know if a team like the Phillies or even the Red Sox would necessarily bite on him, but I also think there's a lot of interest in him from teams like, say, like the Angels or like the Mariners. I would have to look specifically what teams need second baseman, but you know, honestly, you know where I could see him going? Maybe like the NL Central, like the Cubs or even like the Brewers. Like one of those teams that
needs. He was drafted by the Cubs.
Yeah, if the Cubs have an opening at second base right now, I actually could see the Cubs him going back to the Cubs. Actually that's my thing. I could see him going to the Cubs. If they need that.
I think that's good. That's a good guess. I think like the two, so I have to actually make a prediction on what team needs the most. Oh. So I think the Mariners, I don't, like the Mariners are very famous for not getting the guy that they should get, which is, you know, in this free agency, it's the Juan Sotos, the Pete Alonzos. I think they're going to get Gleyber Torres, and I think it'll be a good move for them because I think Gleyber Torres is good. I had the Giants in mind because I think the Giants will miss on,
that's
they usually
one.
Do that. They'll miss on so many free agents and they just end up with one of the guys in the middle there. But I think the Mariners. I think the Mariners, I think guys under Jerry DePoto, Derry DeLuzero, whatever the hell his name is, I think that he's under a lot of pressure and he's going to try to answer it with Gleyber Torres.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. I would have to see the team. Because you know what it is, too, is that there's like some teams that do have second basemen right now that might not necessarily be willing to keep them over someone like Gleyber. So I would have to see exactly what teams would be more specifically moving on. But I definitely could see him still at least going to an overall decent team or a team that has a shot at making the playoffs. I don't think he's... Yeah. I think he's not going to be like a guy that falls to like the Marlins or something like that. Like a Starling
Castro. That would be crazy.
No, he'll definitely
get about what about Willy Adames?
All right, this is the crazy hot take. I actually think this is, and I know we were just talking about it like for pretty much the whole show. I actually think this is the guy that the Dodgers open their pocketbooks up for and get him because he wants to specifically play shortstop. You could put Mookie Betts back in the outfield and then just have Willy Adames go to the Dodgers for a shortstop, and I feel like he's like a perfect fit for them. So honestly, I actually do think the Dodgers are going to, that's going to be their next big contract is Willy Adames, like a 6-year, 160 mil, something like that.
Well, I think he's going to the Mets. listen, and I get it. You know, it's shortstop. Francisco Lindor is already there. I think Adames will be willing to move for Lindor. I think, listen, I get it, Wolfie. You know, the Mets, they want Juan Soto. Maybe they want Pete Alonso. I think they miss on Juan Soto, and I think they use that money to get Pete Alonso, to get Willy Adames. I think Willy Adames is just a perfect fit for what they need. I mean, obviously Juan Soto is the better person of what they need, but I think Willy Adames has shown you last year that he can have that big year. He can be a driving force for a playoff team, and I thought that he lived that. I think he'd be perfect for what the Mets need. The Mets need, literally, they need some pitching, of course. You need Senga healthy, of course. But I think you just need one more bat to get you over that. I think the Mets have been one more bat away for a while, and I don't think they're going to get Juan Soto. I think they'll get Willy Adames.
You know what's funny? There's actually a hot take going around right now, and this is how I think about it. So there, well, first off, there is a little bit of bitterness between Willy Adames and the Mets. They actually had some scuffles in the playoffs, but I don't really think that's going to matter too much in the contract room.
But, I mean, Gerrit Cole got shitted on by the Yankees fans. Like, right,
exactly. So I don't really think that's going to matter. But I also look at it like this. First off, I don't think the Mets are going to lose Soto. But the talk is, say if they lose Soto.
I love how we both keep just like, I think the Mets are getting him. Yeah. And I just keep saying, I don't think the Mets are
getting him. Let's just, because the talk was the Mets would get him and Willie, and then Willie would play third. Vientos would go to first, and then they just wouldn't re-sign Pete. I actually could see a world where, because everybody, no one talks about this for some reason, where Vientos stays at third, they don't get Soto, they get Adames, and they get Pete, and they stick Adames at second base, and then put Pete at first. I'm not saying don't resign Jose Iglesias, because let's be honest, we already resigned him for a bench bat last year. That was the whole point, he was going to play the bench, and then try to trade Jeff McNeil. That would actually make more sense to me. And I know, like, the problem is that, but then we have Acuna coming up. We have Mauricio coming up. So where would they play? But I'm not worried about that right now. I'm worried about making the best team on the field. So while I know the better solution technically on paper would just be have him play third, Vientos goes to first, don't worry about first base, just go get another outfielder. But in a world where they do want to keep Pete and get Adames, I think that's how they could fix it around a little bit. Plus, I also think eventually they're going to try to make Acuña center fielder. Because he's already been playing there a little bit, so, but that's another story.
That would be fucking spicy. I'm going to get him on most of my fantasy teams next year. But when it comes to third baseman, I mean, Alex Bregman, I don't really care. I don't think Alex Bregman's at that point of his career where he's going to, I think he's either going to take a lot of money from a team like the Rockies or like, you know, maybe the Nationals get him for whatever fucking reason.
I actually think the Nationals could get him. There's a lot of,
I don't want him. I don't think he's going to matter much to a contender in my eyes. I think all the contenders have their eyes elsewhere, so I don't care too much about that answer. But I think, crazy hot take, maybe this is true, maybe this is not, I think Yoan Moncada is going to end up going to a team like the Dodgers or a team like the Yankees, and I think he's going to revive his whole career. I think it's going to be so good for him to be out of the Chicago. I think he's going to go to a team, maybe even the Mets take a little chance on him. And he's going to be cheap because, like, no one gives a shit about him. But I think he's going to revitalize his career with it because the Dodgers are famous at doing that, picking up these players and getting them back or even better than where they were.
And as weird as it sounds, too, I do like that take. I could also see, like, team maybe like the Brewers who, if they lose Adames and need to replace a shortstop or an infielder, they could do something like that where they take a chance on a guy that's maybe not as like well known. Even Gleyber Torres, I kind of mentioned that before, but like I feel like they're the type of team that could also maybe be involved in these guys that might not get top dollar.
All right, so center fielders, there's really nobody. We talked about Juan Soto, so we got for left field, how do you, and I think this is a sneaky good free agent, Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah, he's good. I actually wouldn't be surprised if the Red Sox try to retain him from last year.
He was really good for Boston.
Yeah, the problem I have with him is, first off, his health and which is also just adds to the consistency. I feel like you don't know what you're going to get with him because he'll either be great or he'll be crappy or he'll be hurt. It's like there's no like consistency with him. So, while I don't think he's going to go to necessarily a top dog team, I could see him kind of doing what he's been doing where it's like kind of bouncing the Cardinals, Red Sox, where maybe in that like mid-tier team. I really don't think he's going to get a big contract. I think he's going to maybe get like a 3-year contract. I don't think he's going to get 4 or 5. I wouldn't even be surprised if it drops down to a 2-year deal. I don't think he's going to get a 1. I think he's better than that.
Bro, he's going to go to the Mariners as their best free agent pull this
year. Well, I was going to say, I could see them like a Mariners team, maybe even a Pirates might budge a little
I got Cubs for this one, I think.
Okay.
I think he's a perfect fit for Windy City. It's mostly always day games. I think he would be a good fit for the Cubs.
That's a solid choice. I could see that. I can see him going towards maybe like a lesser, I don't want to say lesser market team, but then like not like a Dodger team like that, like or Yankees, but maybe like an NL Central.
Do you think Jerickson Profar is going to be a big deal this year? Like in the free agency market? I think he should be, like, he's a good hitter, man. He's revived his career in San Diego. I think he'll go back to San Diego.
I think like, so, too, yeah. I think that he's going to go back.
If another team can grab him, I think he'll be a solid piece. Like, I think he would be sneaky good for the Mets.
I think he's... I wouldn't be surprised. I could actually see the Mets maybe doing that because he wouldn't be as expensive. I think, though, for his best interest, it might be better to try to stay with the Padres because, once again, it's consistency with him, too. He's been literally touted since the day he came up as supposed to be, like, this mega superstar, 5-tool player. And, like, there's times we see it for, like, months at a time, and then there's times we don't see it for the entire year. So, for his best bet, I think he's going to... First off, I think he's staying on the West Coast. I don't think he's coming to the East Coast. He's staying on the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been off the West Coast since 2018.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
besides the stint with Colorado.
I think San Diego's going to try to retain him, to be honest. I don't think he's even...
I mean, I would, too. I mean, 24 home runs, 85 RBIs, hitting .280. There's a small gap between his strikeouts and walks. I think he's really good for them. He gels them guys like you thought Juan Soto would.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, with them losing some of their outfielders, I can see him staying there.
Anthony Rendon. No, I'm just kidding. Anthony Santander.
This is funny. First off, I actually think the market's going to be pretty good on him. Maybe even a team like the Phillies could take a peek. I don't think the Yankees, even if the Yankees lose Soto, I don't think they're going to take a peek at him. I think it's going to be a little bit out of their price range. We mentioned the Mariners. Pretty much any team that can need hitting, I feel like he fits with almost every team. That being said, I think the Orioles have to keep him. Because it is such a big gap in their lineup if he's not there.
I agree.
If they don't replace him, like, it's almost like you would almost have to get Soto if you're not getting him. Because there's not that many other good players on the market that have his numbers. So I don't want to sound like, you know, boring, but I really think he can't leave Baltimore.
That's good. Well, I have the Nationals here. I don't think the Nationals get Juan Soto. I don't think they do anything too crazy. But the Nationals, if there's one thing that the Nationals need, is a first baseman. He could play first base. I think the Nationals get Anthony Santander on a decent contract. That's the big free agent that they get, along with maybe some pitching. And this could be like a homer take, but it's like I said, I don't see the Nationals making a huge move. And Anthony Santander being like there so that they don't have to worry about first base. All their prospects are everywhere else besides first base. I mean, Yohandy Morales is nothing like to really walk away from, but I think if they want a permanent answer there, I got Santander on the Nets.
That's a good call. I like that. I can actually I'll say this. I also don't see him leaving the East Coast.
That's fair. That's a good point.
I don't see him going to any.
All right, so Teoscar Hernandez, I think he's staying in LA. They got to keep him.
Yeah, I can see LA trying to keep him too. I'll say this hot take: Yankees. I think he's done with this like 1 year, 2 year stint. I think he's finally going to get a 3 or 4 year contract, and this is kind of be like the last like hurrah for like his, you know, free agency. Like maybe he'll get like another 1 or 2 year after a 3 or 4 year. But and also too, I feel like he deserves it. Like the fact that he's bounced around to three teams over the last like 3 or 4 years is actually kind of disrespectful. So yeah, like don't get me wrong. So there's times he's had like months of a slump, or even his postseason wasn't great. But he's generally a good, consistent power hitter. To where, like the fact even like a team like the Giants, I could see them giving him like a 3-4 year contract. Like I think this is the year finally that he does solidify himself. I think it's gonna be on the West Coast. I don't know if the Dodgers are gonna go. Like I said, I think they're going to get Willie Adames, so I don't know if they're going to open up the pocketbook for a 3 or 4 year deal. But I do think he's going to stay on the West Coast, whether it be Dodgers, Padres, Giants, or Diamondbacks. I think he's going to be in that division.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, like I said, I feel like he'll stay with the Dodgers because he just meant a lot to them as just that, you know, the guy that, like, you know, these other teams weren't preparing their scouting report for. They were preparing it for Freddie Freeman, Mookie, and Shohei. You know, even Will Smith, Max Muncy. Like, Teoscar is a really good guy in that lineup. I think if he does leave, though, I think he'll end up on a random team like the Twins. Okay. Like, just, I think he'd be perfect in their ballpark. It would be so random. Because, I mean, that's how it's been. Like, the Jays, Mariners, like, it was just so random until he ended up on the Dodgers. So if he doesn't end up on the Dodgers, I think it'll just be another random spot.
I'm trying to think. I don't think they have the position. Oh, never mind. Yeah, they don't have the position for him. I was going to say, he can almost fit on a team like the Astros, but between Tucker and Alvarez, I don't know if they have
that'd the be spot scary. For him.
But I actually think a team like the Diamondbacks could utilize him pretty well because they're in a dome stadium. That ball travels really far. I feel like if he went to the Diamondbacks, like he could easily hit 35, 40 home runs again.
That's a good point. So Corbin Burnes.
I think the Orioles are going to have to do everything they can to retain him.
And I think they will.
And I think they will. That being said, there is like one little scary note is that when the Dodgers won the World Series, he put up a tweet with the eyes like looking to the left symbol like, oh, I see you guys out there. And there's a part of me that thinks that they're going to be like, all right, Glasnow coming back. You got Yamamoto there. Otani's pitching. That's three. They're probably going to get Sasaki, that's four. And then if you add that final piece of Corbin Burnes at five, they don't have to resign Walker Buehler then. They don't have to resign Flattery. a lot of these prospects that, you know, that were filling in spots like Bobby Miller and all that, you don't even have to use. Maybe they give Clayton Kershaw a courtesy deal one more time. But if I actually think that if he doesn't stay with the Orioles, a team like the Dodgers can get him. That being said, though, the third sneaky team in there, I do actually think the Mets are going to try to be involved because
of
the
Stearns connection. And that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, like, if he doesn't end up on the Orioles, I got the Mets because, you know, like, we know Uncle Steve. He's just going to throw his money wherever. And Corbin Burns is just a perfect fit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've actually been a big fan of Corbin Burns for the last couple of years. I was a really big fan of him.
He's a dog, bro, and he's a dog in the playoffs, too.
Yeah.
He just does his thing.
Well, he called out the Brewers a couple of years ago, which I did like, where he's like, yo, like, he goes, I'll pitch, like, a great game, but they're not doing enough to build the team. Like, he's generally wants to win, so I do like his... Plus, I like his fucking stuff. Like, he's a nasty pitcher. I've actually wanted him, like I said, on the Mets for years. But no, like, I think the only thing that hesitates me with the Mets doing it is that if they were in, like, a position, maybe like the Orioles or the Dodgers, where it's like they have all the other pieces there already and they need that one more guy, the problem is that the Mets need to replace, like, three guys. So I'm curious if they would just put all their chips into, like, one guy and then maybe get two lesser guys, because Manaea's going to get some money this year, too. Severino's going to get some money. So I'm curious if they would go all in on Burns, keep Senga there still. Peterson did great, and then fill in, like, two minor spots. I'm curious how they would go with that. Unless they just go to the shebang. I think Soto is going to take a lot of their resources, though.
All right, so two more. Max Fried.
He's an interesting one, because I think the Braves would be dumb to get rid of him right now, especially
seeing I think they will. I don't think they're going to. So it goes back to, like, when you're the Braves, like, it's tough enough that they already did it with Riley, but it's like, are you really going to pay this guy all the money that he wants and everyone else that took a cheap deal are supposed to just sit there like,
yeah,
well, what the fuck? And that's the problem that I think the Braves have ran into, is they're going to have to keep relying on these guys like Chris Sale to come in and just be magical on a cheaper contract, because there's no way you can give Max Fried all that money. And no offense to Max Fried, I love him, but all the times that he's failed for Atlanta, I don't think you can give him all that money and everyone in the locker room is just going to be okay with it. I don't think he's coming back to Atlanta. Matter of fact, the two teams that I have that he's a perfect fit in, one might be
more possible
than the other.
Yeah, one.
I have the Houston Astros.
That's a solid pick.
The Astros, they do this thing where they love to have good pitching. And pitching that they can improve. So, like, they got Hader, find some, you know, I know Hader struggled, but Hader's a perfect example of this. Find a guy that, like, not everyone's going to be going crazy for, but is a nasty motherfucker when, you know, the time comes. And I think he gets in with those pitching coaches in Houston. I think he knows he can, like, be Cy Young top guy. And another team is the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox, all they need is one ace. I think they get one ace. They have a whole bunch. The thing that people don't realize is that the Red Sox are going to have a top rotation whether they get someone or not with the players that they have. Hauk, they got Bello, they got Cutter Crawford. Like, they have – I'm probably missing some people there. I think they get one guy like Max Fried. I think they're sailing. They're balling.
You took the words out of my mouth. I don't think they're a team that would necessarily go maybe for the Corbin Burns, but I could definitely just see them being like, all right – we gave you Chris Sale last year. You took our lefty. We're going to take your lefty, and he's going to be our ace of our rotation. I actually would be shocked if he doesn't go to the Red Sox, because I was like, first off, I actually want to say, because I didn't think about them right away, that Astros take is super solid. I actually think that would be very smart of them
I think the Astros are going to sneak in and get one of these guys. I even said Berríos. As, like, a guy, I don't think he's a free agent this year. I think he had an extra year. But if they get someone like that, it's just what teams like this do. They get a guy that a lot of people have maybe forgotten about, and they just end up completely just nasty. And I think that's Max Fried is one of those guys.
And also, off the top of my head, there is one other team. Well, actually, the entire division that I'm about to say could use him. But for some reason, I could also see a team like the Cardinals going out of their way and picking him up, because they're usually pretty sneaky with these pitching prospects, and they've been a little lacking in their starting pitching over the last few years. I could see him going there and partnering up with Sonny Gray out there. Maybe, I think they still have Lance Lynn, even though he's whatever. But I could see them trying to like upgrade at least more so from just like, you know, Sonny Gray. So I could actually see him maybe going to there too.
One of those takes being, I thought it was hilarious, Clayton Kershaw. I think obviously we know that Clayton Kershaw is probably going to end up with the Dodgers, but man, is he out of shape. And man, it seemed like he's done, but he only signed with the Dodgers just to see if they could do it, just to see if he could get another championship on the resume, and it worked. So I thought that was...
Throw pitch.
That was my one take. It's like getting an A on a group. It's like... He put in so much work into the group project year after year and came up with nothing. And then the one year he was just like, ah, fuck it. I'm just going to fucking stick around and see if these guys do it. They do it. And you saw him mad fat on the field just celebrating.
I know. That's crazy.
Dude, he's completely out of shape. Wow. I can see why he's been hurt for the last like year straight.
Like what I said, I think this could be the year that he's actually done. I think they're just like, all right. We love you, but, like, you know, where are you fitting into this plan? By the way, just like, funny thing about the ring, I think it was Miguel Vargas, the guy that got traded from the Dodgers to the White Sox, and remember that crying meme? He actually got a World Series ring, because the way, I didn't know that, I didn't realize it's like, even if you get traded mid-season, you're still part of that roster.
Because you technically, so, like, you technically put you in work.
Them. Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. So he technically got a ring.
I think you have to play like 10 games or like 5 games or some shit to be able to like qualify. Because there was a guy that spent like 5 days, or like 5 games with the Dodgers and like 6 games with the Yankees, and he got a ring either way.
That's crazy.
That it was some reliever, but like he got a ring no matter what.
Oh, maybe it was Caleb Ferguson. He's sitting there. Caleb Ferguson.
Yeah, and you know he's just sitting there watching the World Series, like, fuck yeah, I win no matter what.
Or even Miguel Rojas go from like the worst team ever to like watch the team you got traded from win it all. It's like, oh, here's your complimentary.
And then
ring.
Like, my other take is like, I think that there is so many pitchers here that can make a difference. Like, and look, and I get it. Some of these guys haven't been good in a while, but imagine Patrick Corbin goes to a team on league fucking minimum and just gets that edge back just because he's on a better team. He's not on the dying Nationals anymore. And Patrick Corbin just reverts to his old ways for a year. I mean, you got fucking Max Scherzer. I get he's 40, but imagine he gets his health in order just for one last good year. Maybe he goes into the bullpen to be a fucking setup guy or a closer for a team.
I mean,
you got like
I
who
think
else do you
like,
got here?
I personally, I mean, by the way, I didn't realize Kershaw had as high of a WAR as he did this year. He must have pitched.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer. I mean, let's not forget that Trevor Bauer's still a free agent for whatever that's worth. I mean,
I think Shane
a lot of rumors have really stated good. That like the owners are going to stop their group banning of Trevor Bauer after last season concluded. I mean, he can make a huge difference. There's a lot of guys here that on like a 1 year deal, they're going to affect some things for whatever. Like, I mean, Shane Bieber, I mean, he's coming off of Tommy John, but like Shane Bieber is a really, really good pitcher when he's healthy.
In 2022, because 2023, he had a 3.8 ERA, but 128 innings, so he was already dealing with that said injury, and he only pitched 12 innings this year, so he basically a season and a half he missed, right? The last full season he pitched, though, 200 innings with a 2.88 ERA, and that was in 2022, just 2 years ago. Now, granted, 2020, oh, actually, that was half season, so that doesn't count. So, 2021...
He won the Cy Young,
In 2020, in that shortened season, So in 2021, injury concern. Then full season, injury. So yes, he does have a big injury history, but the potential's there. Plus, he's still only 30 years old. So
he's going to, like, and that's what I'm saying, like, teams better not be, like, or, like, it play like people better not be mad if he just randomly ends up on the Dodgers because no one was willing to pay him.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually think he's like someone. Heck, like I said, to talk about even just Boston. Like, if you're building a rotation, he could definitely fit right in there too. But I think
I mean,
he's
Boston, they love Boston is the number one. Oh, we're gonna sign a guy with a whole bunch of injury history and just fucking let it rip.
Exactly.
They are the number one. They are the number. Like, come on, like signing Paxton, getting Giolito. Like, they've just done it over and over
and over. I'll be honest, I'm not a big betting man, but saying it out loud right now, I wish I would have known the division he's going to go to, obviously, before I placed this bet, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the top five Cy Young this year, if he has a healthy season. Shane Bieber? If he has a full healthy season, I could see him being in the top five.
I mean, it's if he goes to a team like the Astros or the Dodgers, like, I'm going to be like, or like the Phillies, just, it could happen. He's going to make a rotation better.
Speaking of that, too, I was going to say this before with Snell and Fried and Burns and all that. It'll never happen, but a team that would be smart to fucking pinch and buy one of these guys is the Pirates. Because now that you have Paul Skeens at the top of your rotation, if you have like a 1-2 Jared punch, Jones. Oh my God. And I'm not saying you necessarily need, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Fried's probably not getting Corbin money. Or even like a Shane Bieber's not going to get Corbin money or Fried money. So, like, if they even had like one of those guys and then say, like, all right, Skeens, Fried, and then say like a Severino or a Manaea, like, all of a sudden that team's rotation's looking a lot better.
I mean, just think about the pitchers they already got. Skeens, Keller, Jared Jones. I mean, they're pretty, they're stacked.
So now that you said that out loud, all right, add in Manaea or add in Shane Bieber, and I think that rotation could be like one of the best in baseball.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They don't need. Do you have anything else you want to?
Do you have anything else you want to talk about, or are we good?
I think you took all the words out of my mouth today.
Ayo. My last take is Nathan Eovaldi should go to the Nationals. Nationals, get it done, please. I really would like someone like him on like a cheaper, longer deal. I think he would mesh well with the younger guys. But with that being said, we're going to get out of here. This was a wonderful episode. We had a lot of good takes here. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe, get in tune, because we got a lot of things coming. We're pushing content again every single day. We got something for everybody. If you want to just sit back and relax and laugh, we got that. We, you know, with our non-sports stuff. If you want some of the best takes from NBA, NFL, or MLB, you come here. If you want, you know, if you're a wrestling fan and you want to just sit back and listen to some knuckleheads talk about wrestling, we got that. I mean, we even got video games. We're going to come back with this video game thing, I promise. We're going to figure it out. But that being said, we got something for everybody. So make sure you guys are on the train, because we're here and we are growing every single day. And so should you. So make sure you're having a good day, night, wherever you are, and peace.
Peace. You know who's like one of the most underrated pitchers, by the way? David Robertson.
You said pitcher?
David Robertson.
Oh my God. He's just had, I mean, I think it, I don't know. I hate watching him pitch because I don't know how he's good anymore.
I know.
Like, I'll watch him and like, and then you see that his fastball is not like fast anymore. And like, it's just like, how the fuck is he still?
And he's 40.
But he's been pitching since I started, not started watching baseball, but he was like, he's been around for such a fucking long time. Hasn't it been like since 2007 or some shit?
He's been playing since Bush was in office.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, he was, I remember him. He was like the best setup man ever for the Yankees.
Yeah, he was there from 2008 to 2014.
Yeah. That's so, you know, crazy.
One thing, too, that I didn't even really think about is that he pitched a shitload of innings in his career as a reliever.
Yeah.
From 2010 he was almost like to 2010 to 2018, so 8 straight years, he pitched a minimum of 60 innings.
And he just stuck around.
Yeah. And he clearly didn't get injured for a while, because it's like 19 was his first injury year, so almost 10 years of pitching without getting an injury. That's fucking really
and
good.
And now he's 30. Is he like, he's still pitching? Like, he's going to go next year?
I would assume so. To be honest, I wouldn't. I would if I was him, because if you actually look, some of his damn best numbers the last 4 years. Dude, since 2000...
He's about to be 40.
2022, 23, and 24, he had a 2.4 ERA, a 3.03 and a 3 flat. I would keep fucking pitching. And he's getting like 12, 14 mil a year.
That's so crazy.
I'm actually pissed the Mets didn't re-sign him this year.
Well, I mean, it's like, why would you, you know? Like, he should shit the bed at some point. I'm just so amazed it hasn't happened yet.
And if it's actually, I didn't even notice it too, which is mind-boggling. You want to hear something crazy? This year, he pitched the most innings ever in his career in 1 year at the age of 40.
The fuck? Did he have that injury and they just replaced his entire arm with, like, something that's never going to fucking break?
And that's actually, I want to post that somewhere. I want to post that somewhere. How does that not get talked about?